findings of the project, sustainable agricultural and soil conservation.
Yeah, this already. Good morning, everybody. My name is Geertrui Luwesi. I'm currently affiliated to the Institute for Prospective Technological Studies, which is located in Seville, Spain, and that's part of the Joint Research Center of the European Commission. I'm presenting this paper on behalf of some colleagues, co-authors, and I want to present findings of the project Soil Conservation, Sustainable Agriculture and Soil Conservation, abbreviated SOCO. This project was initiated by the European Parliament and was then performed in close cooperation with Directorate General for Agriculture and Rural Development by the Joint Research Center. We had colleagues from the Institute for Environment and Sustainability from ISPRA involved in the study as well. So within this talk, I will highlight effects of soil farming practices on particular soil degradation processes and how these are being encouraged or supported by European Union policies. So in its soil thematic strategy, the European Commission recognized in 2006 a number of soil degradation processes, some of which are relevant, or most of which are relevant to agriculture. And within our study, we added two, biodiversity decline and solidification. So in the context of agriculture, I think you could only cross out sealing, that wouldn't be that relevant to agriculture. We all know that there are interlinks between the soil component and other environmental components, like, for example, water and also biodiversity, and that there are interrelationships between the different soil degradation processes. And today I'm going to focus a little bit more on what is the topic of this session, so soil erosion and then the closely related processes of declining organic matter and also compaction. So soil degradation processes, they involve costs, and therefore there is somehow a society response required. Why? Well, the land users, they have a genuine interest in protecting their soils, and mostly this is also in line with what society wants, because soils not only have a production function for agriculture, but they also have a number of public goods characteristics, because they have other functions like providing landscape, or part of the landscape at least, or also the carbon sequestration function. But these public goods characteristics infringe upon the property rights of the farmers, and therefore most likely soil quality will not be provided in sufficient quantities, and therefore policy intervention is needed through support of appropriate farming practices. Now, along with the basic elements that I just sketched, we had three main components or building blocks within this project. First of all, we wanted to look at what is the current status of soil degradation. Second, what are the available soil conservation practices and systems, with a focus on the European Union, obviously. And then also, how can farmers be encouraged to use those practices through appropriate policy measures? So getting back to the first building block, the status of soil degradation, the colleagues of ISPRA, of the Soil Action, they estimated the magnitude and the location of soil degradation risk within Europe. So I'm talking of risk, meaning that they were looking at the factors that were favorable for soil degradation. So these maps do not necessarily show the actual occurrence of soil erosion on the left-hand side. On the right-hand side, you see a map of actual organic carbon content throughout Europe. These data, together with data on minimum and maximum organic carbon, were used to give estimates of areas that were most likely to win or lose organic matter. Then the next building block, appropriate farming systems and practices. Other colleagues from ISPRA, from the Agri-Environment Actions, they looked into appropriate farming systems, one of which was conservation agriculture. Conservation agriculture, basically meaning either no or reduced tillage combined with cover crops and crop rotation. And then another system was organic farming. appropriate farming practices that were looked into were cropping practices. So in addition to what I mentioned already, also rich tillage, subsoiling and contour farming. Then they were also looking at land use changes, such as use of agroforestry and grassland, or also the use of landscape infrastructures, like, for example, buffers or terraces. And so, in as far as the literature provided sufficient information on this, they looked into the environmental and also the economic benefits and drawbacks of the respective practices. Now, moving into the policy arena and coming back to the third block that I mentioned, so how can farmers be encouraged to pick up favorable practices through policies? When designing policies, environmental quality levels, and in this case soil quality levels, are being defined in line with property rights. And so in that sense, we can recognize a reference level of soil quality that farmers should provide at their own expense. And this coincides with the distinction between mandatory policy measures and voluntary incentive-based measures. And then beyond the reference level of environmental quality, there is a so-called environmental target that farmers have to provide at their own expense, but they get through incentives, they get financial support for income foregone, or either because there is a yield loss or because there's additional costs involved, for example, as a consequence of establishing buffers or whatever there might be to do. So this environmental target level coincides with the distinction between voluntary incentive-based measures and awareness-increasing measures. So when we look at the potential of the current EU policies for soil conservation, then we see that there are a range of policies that are relevant. A first series are the environmental directives. And there again, we can make a distinction between, a rough distinction, I would say. There is a first generation that developed from the mid-70s onwards that were mostly targeting one particular environmental target. And as you can see, like, for example, birds directive, nitrates directive, most of them are not particularly targeting soils, but due to these interlinks between environmental components, they can nevertheless have positive consequences for soils. Like, for example, birds and habitats directive, extensive management under these directives can be beneficial for soil biodiversity. Or, for example, the sewage sludge directive, so regulating the use of sewage sludge has a positive impact on organic matter decline and can also contribute to controlling contamination. Then from the mid-90s onwards, we get a so-called, kind of a second generation or a second type of environmental directives, and they were more coordinative in nature. So an example of this is the Water Framework Directive. And in 2006, the European Commission also came up with a proposal for a Soil Framework Directive targeting soil explicitly. However, this directive hasn't been accepted yet, has been blocked so far by a minority of member states. And then along with this more coordinating and integrative nature of developing environmental policies, there was also, with the Cardiff process, the integration or the requirement to integrate environmental policies into other sectoral policies, including the common agricultural policy. And so the directives that are highlighted in blue were thus integrated into the cross-compliance mechanism. And so the cross-compliance mechanism is basically a mechanism where the payment of direct income payments, but also payments of eight rural development measures, is dependent of the farmer's compliance with a number of environmental rules. So in that sense, cross-compliance applies to both the first pillar of the Common Agricultural Policy, which deals with market support and also direct income payments, as well as to the second pillar, which provides for a number of incentive payments in the rural development area. So this compliance mechanism has been mandatory since 2005. It consists of statutory management requirements, which basically create a synergy between the direct income payment scheme and this need to comply with a number of environmental directives. And then there's also the requirement to keep land in good agricultural and environmental condition. The main aim of this instrument is to avoid land abandonment and also to have a minimum maintenance of agricultural land. And within this instrument, we see some direct targeting of soils, like, for example, soil erosion, soil organic matter decline, but also soil compaction under the soil structure damage element. And then on the incentive, under the incentive-based measures, we have the Rural Development Regulation, which main aim is to sustain, to provide sustainable agriculture within the rural area. The Rural Development Regulation, there the European Commission sets the main objectives and also the main rules of implementation. But in the end, it is the respective member states who decide based on the needs within their territories, how the or they design the rural development programs, again, based on what the European Commission gives as guidelines for certain programming periods. But within this area of rural development regulation, especially the agri-environment schemes are of particular importance to soil conservation because they allow a direct targeting, a specific targeting of soils. Now, coming to some effects of soil-friendly practices on particular soil degradation processes and how they are supported through European Union policies. In this table, this is just a section of an overview table we made with the data we had. So in this table, minus means negative effect, plus means a positive effect. If there are no brackets, this means that these are measured effects as reported in the review in the literature that has been reviewed, and square brackets mean that these are expected effects in the sense that this is basically our own interpretation based on the knowledge we had, and so there we see that for example NOAA reduced tillage. I'll highlight some elements for the topic of this session. So under cover crops and intercropping, for example, the positive effect has to do with a minimum of soil cover during winter, for example. And we see that some of these elements are supported through the requirement to keep land in good agricultural and environmental condition. And other elements are supported through the agri-environment measures. Here's some further examples. So contour farming, due to the increased infiltration rate, this has reduced runoff as a consequence, and so has a positive impact on water erosion. Under terraces, the positive effect has to do with the fact that there are examples where terraces have been abandoned and where more erosion was induced. Under agroforestry, for example, this is reported to have a general effect, good positive effect on soil fertility, for example. And here again, we see that parts of these elements are supported under a mandatory mechanism, cross-compliance. But then other elements are supported under an incentive-based mechanism, so either the agri-environment measures or the agroforestry measure, also under rural development. But if you noticed when I switched the colors, you see that there is an overlap between the yellow and the green, so between the mandatory and the incentive-based, which means that what is mandatory are what is mandatory in some member states appears to be voluntary in other member states. So here we see that there is a difference in equity considerations and so a different approach in considering property rights, which means that, and also this in the degree to which costs are shared between the farmer and society. So now coming to the conclusions, due to the interest of time, I only highlighted some point of these conclusions of the overall project. With the overview I gave, we see that there is an existing suite of policy measures that has the potential to address soil conservation in Europe. There are different equity considerations with regards to farmers' property rights. So there is scope for specifying the environmental quality levels better. And then at the level of the effectiveness or implementation, we see that cross-compliance has contributed to establishing a common reference level of soil conservation in Europe, and that rural development measures, in particular agri-environment measures, contribute further to reaching a higher level of soil quality. Nevertheless, at this point, we lack a coordinating framework to target soil policy, and so in this sense, the acceptance of the soil framework directive would be a move forward there. With this, well, I want to invite you once more to think soils, although I'm convinced that you already do, and thank you for your attention. And if there's, we produced two reports and some fact sheets in this project, so I have a copy here if people are interested, and otherwise they are also downloadable from the website. Thank you.